I do have one announcement I failed to mention. Miss Vicky, I'm going to let y'all know, if y'all did bring her some food or your dishes were used, deliver that food. It is in the fellowship hall, and you can grab that this evening. But again, she wants to just, y'all know how thankful she is for y'all and all that you've done for her. This evening, I'm so thankful for all of our young men and those who have not yet led us in worship, but will momentarily, for their desire to do so and the example they set for us, for their dedication and their devotion to be servants and to also be leaders of our worship here. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to see what a wonderful example they and all of our youth here set daily as they live their lives dedicated to God and His glory. This time of year in the holiday season, there's going to be a lot of different times. We're going to go places. We're going to invite people to come and visit us. And the reason being is there's so much comfort that you have in a visit. Whether you are going to see somebody you haven't seen in a while, or you're inviting them to come inside your home, and you have that time that you can have together, you share this time, you make memories together, you have a meal, and you get to just be with one another. Those that you love, those that you care about and want to see succeed, you have the time to visit and catch up, and above all, you're just able to be around those who mean so much to you. And those who are hosting people, me and Mallory are pretty thankful. We're not at the hosting stage of our life yet. We just get to go. And so all the food's already there. We just show up, and we're ready to visit and so forth. But those of you who are hosting, your invitations have been sent out by this point. You're trying to plan, make everything work with all your different family things going on, because you want nothing more than be able to spend time with those that you love. On the flip side of that, we also love to receive an invitation, don't we? Know that somebody cares enough for us, that somebody thinks enough about us, that want us to be a part of their special time together, sharing in who they are, what they are, and everything that they live their lives for. We think about our own lives tonight. Those of us who are Christians, there's nothing more important for us to be able to share with those in the love and the glory and the mercy of Christ through our lives, through how we talk to the people, through how we treat people, through how we look into the world, seeing those who need help and whatever it might be, and we live our lives exemplifying through our actions the Lord and the God who's done everything for us through His Son, Jesus. And we want to share the good news, don't we? The fact that Jesus Christ died for me, died for all of us, so that all of us can have our lives free from the burden of our sin, that all of us can rest our head on our pillows tonight in the hope and the joy of our calling, knowing that to live in this life is Christ, but to die in this life is gain. And we share that hope with those that we invite into our life. We also share our hope with those as we go into this world, as the Bible commands us. So we understand that we have two goals when it comes to us sharing the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, with those in this world. First off, we invite those because we want them to know where our joy comes from, and we want to share our joy with them. And on the flip side of that, we also go into this world because right now there are those who are seeking, there are those who are waiting to know that they truly have hope, and they can have joy made possible through the only true source of that, Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came into this world and who died on Calvary to take their sins away through their salvation. In Acts chapter 10, we are introduced to Cornelius. The majority of our study tonight will take place there in Acts chapter 10. And also, if you want to go ahead and mark it in Joshua chapter 2, we'll be there for our study tonight. But in Acts chapter 10, we are introduced for the first time, he's only mentioned in this chapter, to Cornelius the centurion. The Bible introduces him in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, where the Bible says, "Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually." And so we see here from this short introduction of Cornelius, first off, he was devout. And second off, the Bible tells us that he feared God, not only himself, but also his entire family. So you see the leadership role he is playing as the man of the household, teaching his family to fear God as he feared God. And this fear is not so much that you are terrified, it's that awe and wonder, that same awe and wonder we have today, of knowing that God, through everything that he is, can do anything he wants to. But because of everything that he is, he has decided to bless us and provide for us and sustain us. And we share in that awe and wonder that Cornelius would have felt towards God here. But while Cornelius loved God, the Bible tells us, and he was devout, there was a problem. At this point in his life, Cornelius had never heard the good news of Jesus. He didn't really have the true hope that we're able to have in the Christian age, knowing that the blood of Christ is able, through our obedience to God's plan of salvation, his blood is able to wash our sins that were once as scarlet, to make us to be able to be as white as snow. But then we see what happens to Cornelius going down to verses 3-5. And there the Bible says, about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some man to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. So here we see that God, knowing the heart, knowing the devotion of Cornelius, through his providence was creating a way, and through his will for his life, that way that for the first time ever, somebody can come through the threshold of Cornelius's home and tell him the good news of Jesus Christ. And we also see that Cornelius does exactly as he is told. He gets two men together that are servants and one soldier, three men in total. People, because of their position, Cornelius would have trusted, and he sends them to go find Simon Peter. But during this time, Cornelius could have just sat there. This was going to be days in between him sending the messengers and Peter coming to his home. He could have just sat there and waited. But that's not what a devout, God-fearing man would do. Instead, he sends his men, as he is told, and he begins to invite all of his family and friends to be there whenever Peter was going to come with good news. In the account of Jericho, we are told of Rahab, who hides the spies and saves their lives as they go for the nation of Israel to scout out the city of Jericho. And we see that after she hides them away, where they not be killed by the king of the city, she pleads with the spies. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 12-13, the Bible says, quoting Rahab, now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And so you see here this fear, right? This awe and wonder of the God of Israel, the one true living God. And before these two verses, in verses 10-11, we see where Rahab's faith in God stems from. Because she says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below, or earth beneath. Rahab only knew of a victorious God who was fighting for his nation from the exodus of Egypt to fulfill his plan for them to receive the promised land. But she didn't know the full story of his glory, did she? All she knew, what she had heard that's taken place at this point decades beforehand, and she feared God with that awe and wonder because she knew through what God had done to the Israelite people that the God of Israel is the one true living God. And she also knew that that God was the only one who could spare her and her family for what was about to happen, the fall of Jericho and the death of the citizens therein. We see in verse 19 that the spies promise her, it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. You think about what this means for us, knowing what can save those in this world from their spiritual death, their eternal death. And the fact that Rahab knows that whoever she can invite into her home, past the threshold of her door, that God in his love and his providence has guaranteed their safety through these two spies that make this promise. And Rahab knew she had a job to do. Because she knew what her family needed to be saved from what was coming. And so she gathers them. And then in Joshua 6:25, it says, Rahab, the harlot, and her father's household and all she had, Joshua was spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab had heard about what was coming. She had fear, awe, and wonder of who God was. And she began to invite those that she loved. Because if we truly love somebody, we don't want them to go to bed tonight without hope if we have anything to do about it. And Rahab knew the hopelessness that was ahead of them in Jericho, and she wanted her family to have nothing to do with that. And as we know, her and her father's household were saved inside of the building where they were kept with Rahab, all because this woman had faith in the God of Israel, the one true living God. And now we return back to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Because Cornelius, for the first time in his life, knew he was about to have true hope. Because he's about to hear the good news. And as we see when Peter gets there, he falls to worship Peter. Because Cornelius didn't really understand about what was going to happen if Peter got there. But we know through the scripture that he was excited. And he knew that for the first time in his life, that God was going to show him what he needed to do to be able to follow him in the way he wanted to. In Acts chapter 10, verse 24, it says, as Peter arrived at Cornelius' house, the Bible says Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius went out and he invited, because he loved them so much that he did not want to save this joyous news for himself. He did not want to be the only one who was able to share in it. Instead, he loved his family and friends so much that he knew something incredible was coming, and he didn't want them to miss it. Rahab knew that a physical death was awaiting those in Jericho at the fall, and she knew that God was the only person that could save them from that. And so she invited those into past the threshold of her home so they can be saved with her. Cornelius knew that a spiritual death was coming. And the only way they could hear the good news at that time was to be in past the threshold of his home as well, for the good news to be brought by God through Peter for the first time in their lives. And this is what love is. The fact that we do not want anybody to miss out on the reason we're able to live our lives the way we do, with joy and with victory and with promise and with hope, and the knowing that Jesus Christ has taken our burdens away. He's made what is worthless to be priceless. He's made what is broken to be fixed. He has made what has no hope to be full of it. And we invite those to come and join us every single day through our lives. The Bible then goes on to tell us, because the invitation that takes place with Cornelius, they receive the salvation and forgiveness of their sins, because in Acts 10:48, the Bible says that Peter is able, through the promises of God, Peter says, order them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The only reason this happened was because Cornelius knew, and he invited others to be a part of what he was a part of. We understand, though, that's not the only thing we're called to do. The Great Commission does not say, invite, wait for them to come to you. Although we invite those that we love to be a part of our lives, what makes our lives worth the living, we also understand that the Great Commission tells us to go. That's exactly what Peter does in Acts chapter 10, written in between the accounts that we have of Cornelius and his family. Before he goes to see Cornelius, Peter has this dream, because at the time they were only preaching the gospel to the Jews. But as we know, the gospel is for all, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile or the Greek. But Peter was unable to understand that, so God gives him a vision. And after this vision, we understand that it's starting to click to Peter. Because in Acts chapter 10, verses 19 through 23, the Bible says, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I'm the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. But you think about who's asking. A Roman centurion, steeped in the Roman culture there, and you can think about the reasons that Peter might have had through his earthly side, through the fleshly desires to refuse that. But Peter pushes everything away about the social structure of that time, about the persecution going on from both the Romans and the Jewish people, because all he saw was an opportunity to go into the home of this man that invited him and share with him the reason that he has hope every single day. And Peter goes. You think about what Cornelius was waiting on and how excited he would have been. We also think about the excitement that we have to be able to share the good news with other people. The fact that no matter the difficulties that might arise, no matter what might get in the way, we want them to know that God does not want them to live their lives on their own. He wants to take all their burdens away. We know that God does not want them to worry about their sins, but he wants them to be cleansed and set free. And us, like Peter, we go whenever we can. We think back to Rahab and the fact that she was not an Israelite at the time when the Israelites were God's chosen people. In fact, the Bible lets us know she's a woman of ill repute from a nation that was warring against God. But because she had faith in the one true living God, her and her family are saved from the destruction. Cornelius was not a Christian at the time, the beginning of Acts chapter 10, but he feared God. And through his fear and through his excitement to hear the good news, he was able to get his family there together to hear Peter share it with them. Regarding the promise of the gospel in this instance, Peter then goes on to say, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. And I know King has been doing an excellent job on his sermons on Sunday morning talking about the whosoever, how that includes us, but the whosoever that we read about in the scripture, what he's been mentioning, we are thankful tonight that God is not partial and the gospel is for all of us who hear it and obey it. And that gives us thankfulness to know that we are a part of that promise. We also understand that as we live our lives, we do so as the church, as the Lord's body, as the body of Christ, going into this world and exemplifying him through all we do and all we say. And by going out into this world, we invite others to look into our lives and to see God glorified through our actions and glorified through what he's done to our sin to make us to be sinless and forgiven. And on top of that, we take the power of salvation, which is the gospel, into this world, willing to share it whenever we can. And now we know, with all this being in our minds, we think about this more and more daily as we grow and as we mature in the gospel, we know and we are thankful that God has entrusted me and you as brothers and sisters to be how this world receives the gospel today. This day and age, God does not need a scarlet cord hung out of a window to save the families who are wanting salvation. He does not need an angel to be sent down even to prepare Cornelius to invite his friends and family over. No, we have all we need to share what we can and to share what the world needs through the gospel and the power therein. And God has chosen us through his love and through his wisdom and through his might. He has chosen me and you to be those conduits of his gospel. To share it with this whole world. We know that Paul writes to Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, as we mentioned, we're mindful that there's no partiality because the Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Later on in that same book, in Romans chapter 10, Paul was reflecting on the fact that the salvation from sins is for all. But this also means that we have a job to do. And to remind us of the consequences of us not doing our job and not spreading the gospel, he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the results of those who are never able to hear the gospel because nobody invited them or nobody sought them out to share it with them. He says, how then would they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of God's good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the first thing we notice there, tonight, is going to be the fact that we are mindful. That there were those we will plead with, there were those we will pray for, there were those that we will love with all of our heart. But some people will not heed the goodness of the gospel of Christ. That does not deter us, and we never stop trying. We pray for them every single day. We pray for them because we love them. We want them to be a part of what we have in Jesus Christ together, made possible through His blood. But then we're reminded that there are those right now who are seeking to know that they can truly have hope tonight. And there are those right now who feel unworthy, or they feel like the love of God cannot reach them. But we know the Bible tells us that God's love is described as depth and riches. Know that God's love is everlasting from everlasting. If God's love can reach me and all my sin that Jesus Christ took on Calvary, it can reach anybody else as well. And so we take this gospel and we go. Because what a wonderful thought it is to know that those who are seeking who they can believe in, those who are wanting salvation can receive that by us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul there quotes from Isaiah 52, verse 7. He mentions that, and I want to close with that thought tonight. As Isaiah writes, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation. We think about those right now who are in need, and we understand that God has equipped us with all that we need to be able to reach them. Through prayer and through our love and through our actions, we think about these people. It's just a terrible thought to think that they can't have the wonderful things we have through Jesus. On the flip side of that, what a joy it is to know it's available for every single person. If tonight you've not put on Christ in baptism, you want to be a part of this wonderful hope and joy we get to have through Jesus Christ, there's no better night than tonight to do so. Over the prayers of the congregation, for any means whatsoever, please come now as we stand and as we sing.
Caring not, my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy, free pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Thank you for being here tonight, especially our visitors. If you have one, if you have any or more opportunity, please come back. If you have not partaken in the Lord's Supper, it is across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time. Our last song will be number 32. Number 32.
The great physician now is near, the symphonizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus,
place to